bring Christian greetings to each one here today. It's nice to have our visitors with us. I want you to join right in and with open hearts before the Lord, each one of us can receive something from Him. If you'd like to look with us today, I'd like to look over in Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter. And I'd like to start with verse 21. Before we read, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come again into thy presence with thanksgiving, with gratefulness for thy blessings, thy many, many mercies to us that are every day that we enjoy, and maybe sometimes we don't even recognize what all that thou hast done for us. We pray today, Lord, that thou wilt open the word to our hearts and help us that we might be hungry, help us to be thirsty after the good things of God, and help us, Lord, that we shall not be disappointed as we leave this place, that we can say it's good to be there in worship with thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I'd like to stop just a little bit to mention here that the angels weren't sent to the palace to announce the birth of Jesus. They were sent to the lowly shepherds out on the hillside who were taking care of their sheep and being responsible. And they were doing their job, and I believe they loved to do it good, in a, to do what they were to do complete. And here it was interesting to me that he said that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I hope this morning that each one of us feel like that we're simply little ones in the sight of the Lord, that we're needy, but that he's all sufficient. He's able to help each one of us with every need that we have. If we can be little in our own sight, and that he's the one that is high and lifted up, the high end, the one that is the inhabits eternity, the lofty one. And if we can stay a little before the Lord, God can help us. If we're lifted up in our own eyes and think we're important, or a lot of different things that we can think about ourselves, we can put ourselves where we can't receive what God wants to give us. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And there again, I believe that can come right down to us today, this morning, this Sunday morning in the Ozark Mennonite Church, that if we really have our hearts open before the Lord, we can be receiving what many kings, prophets, priests have desired to see and hear. but they have not. We can be fed this morning by God. God can be here. I appreciated the song that we sung just before about come gracious Spirit, inviting God to come in His presence. Without Him, it's all dead. There is nothing. We can have everything in such organized order, and that's good. We can have everything in their proper places. But unless God is there, then we're completely void. And we'll be looking for other things to satisfy the longings of the heart and never get them satisfied unless we have Him. We were talking the other day. I forget who it was, but we were standing close to a receptacle there in a house. And I was talking, you know, you can have very best skill saw or the very best drill, and you can have a cord to it, and there can be electricity in that receptacle. And if you don't believe that there is, all you have to do is do like I did when I was a little boy. And I, you know, they told me don't mess around with those receptacles, and so I was really afraid of them. But you know, I just wanted to see for myself. Why do we have to want to see for ourselves and then have to get really fixed? And so I went into, I was in the restroom, shut the door, and up on the back of the, is either the stool or the cabinet, the vanity, I took a pair of tweezers, and there was a receptacle right there. So I took the pair of tweezers, and I set them up there just on the edge of the receptacle. But I don't know why I did this. It saved my life, probably. I took a plastic comb, and I got back, and I pushed those tweezers, and you can imagine what happened. When the tweezers went into that receptacle, just like that, the lights all went off. My father was gone on a trip up to Jefferson City. We were there by ourselves, me, my mother, and sister. And the lights, there we all in the light, and the fire flew, and a big noise. You know, all of a sudden I was convinced that there was something in that receptacle. There was power there. But I had to try to figure it out and find it myself. We were talking about the receptacle in the house, how that, you know, you can have the very best equipment, the very best saws and drills, and you can have a cord that all you have to do is push it into the receptacle and that thing will work. But if all we have is a saw and we don't have it plugged in, you can click it and click it. You can hold it down. You can put it on the board and push it and try to make it saw. And you can be just so far from the receptacle and have everything in perfect order. But unless you get the little cord plugged in to where that it's hooked up with the power, it will not work. And that's the same way with us today. It's just so simple, is that we must give everything to the Lord. And we must be in contact with God. If we're not in contact, then it's just a dead form. And it won't satisfy our souls. But if we have Him and then everything is in order, that piece of equipment, whatever it is, it'll work perfectly if it's all sharpened up and ready to go. And you have the power. You click the little button, you push it off, and you can cut piece after piece of board off. You can do the job, get the job done. And that's where we are today. If we're so high and lofty and up here on this level that we can't come down and humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, without God, we have nothing, nothing at all. But with Him, we have everything. And we don't have to try to do it like I did. Some people get wildfire. And that's just exactly what I got. I tried to do something the wrong way. And there was power there. And the fire flew and the noise and the lights went off. And my poor mother trying to fumble around there with fine flashlights and see what had happened and wondering if somebody was dead in there, and get my grandpa over, and in the trailer house, it had blown a fuse. They had fuses, so he had to come over and get things to going again. God's way is best. It's always best. But even after Jesus had made these statements, here in verse 25, he says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" He sounded sincere, didn't he? He had a good question, and he sounded sincere. But let's read on a little further. "And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said," and he knew all the law. He was a lawyer. "And he answered and said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.'" It was complete. Doctrinally, he was straight, completely straight. Scripturally, he was sound. Everything was there. Well, then Jesus put it right to the test of the living, the life. You have the doctrine, you have the form, you have everything in order, but now is it working? And so he says here, "And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.'" In other words, put it into action. You know how to love God in all these different ways, he said. In your heart, in your soul, in your strength, with all your strength, in your mind. And then the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. I suppose we could just stop right there and all of us go home and start thinking about putting that into practice, loving our neighbor as ourselves. And we could spend the rest of the day thinking about that and put it into practice. And it would probably really do something for us. Well, he said, but he willing, this is one of the scriptures that really caught my attention here. Verse 29. "And he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Have you ever heard people do that? The Lord show them perfectly how, what he wants and everything. But they just looked so mystified. "But who is my neighbor?" You ever seen a child do that? You tell them to do this and this. "But I don't know how to do that." Sometimes we don't act like we're too smart. But most of us are smarter than what we act sometimes. Things like that. He said, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus said, answering and saying, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." And I thought there's a real message there that each one of us, we want to be balanced. We don't need to wait until they're robbed to have to take care of them, but let's do some warning about living in the shadows, about living on the side of the road where the robbers like to hide. Let's do some warning about things that can destroy a person spiritually, physically, mentally, and not like the little poem that Brother David used several times about the ambulance at the foot of the hill. We've got a good ambulance down there at the foot of the hill, and it's all equipped to have oxygen. We have everything, painkillers and everything in that ambulance, and if they fall off of here, we've got her ready to go. She's ready to go to the hospital. But why wouldn't it be so much easier just to put a big fence up there and say, "Now listen, that's a drop off. We was on Pike's Peak. You look down there, hundreds of feet down." And I would have been so happy if they had had a big, big fence, a big high one, and some good strong guardrails along there. But as we drove up to the top of Pike's Peak, there were no guardrails, there were no fences. It's a lot of the way that a lot of people like to run church. You know to stay away from there. Well, I did. There was nothing coming. I got over in the middle of the road almost. I wasn't getting close to that. I wasn't aiming to go off of there. He told us every year, two or three people will go off and drop down there to their death a lot of times. Guardrails. Things that would protect us, our young people, our families, from disaster, and warn them about getting over in the shadows. But I've heard so and so forth about the enjoyment of living over here, and this and that one. And I think I'm going to try to get as close as I can. Oh, I tell you, our soul is at stake. And if we lose our soul, we've lost everything. And if I can do my best, I'm going to stay away from the shadows. I'm going to stay away from where the robbers may be waiting to rob me and take me of all the different things, take away those things, the good things that God has made available to me. Well, this man got too close to the shadows, and he's wounded. He's stripped. He's half dead. And now here comes the priest. By chance there came down a certain priest that way, and then when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. I hope that our compassion reaches out to the wounded. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity. That's our calling, to reach out to the perishing, to reach out to the dying, the hurting, the crying. But they passed by on the other side, and then this Samaritan, someone that does have no contact with the Jews, the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And compassion is not overlooking sin. Compassion is helping them out of it. Compassion is telling the truth. Compassion is telling our children, if you set out in the middle of the road and that car comes, you know what's going to happen. I mean, telling them plainly and straightly. And then if they persist to do it, then for us to go out there and set some laws in order and get them out of the middle of the road and get them back to where they're supposed to be. If they're not old enough to understand, then it's up to you and me as parents to be sure that we show them the way, that we help them so that they won't get run over by tragedy. Well, the Samaritan came by, and I believe that he forgot about his past, his background, his Franschhoff, if you want to put it that way. You know, yesterday I was talking to Ann, and I was wanting to write this down, and I didn't know how to spell Franschhoff. And I looked it up, and she looked it up, and all of us looked it up. If we just had a budget, we'd have been all set. But our relatives, our background, whatever, I believe that Samaritan forgot all about that, and here he saw this hurting man, this wounded man, this man that was stripped and hurting and dying. And I believe he forgot all those things, and he went, and it says here that he took care of him. He went to him and bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He did what was necessary. Maybe somebody say, well, I wouldn't get over there. If you do, you're liable to be in danger yourself of the robbers. But you know, it's high time that we're willing to go into the places to reach out to those that have fallen. That doesn't mean get involved in their deeds and all they do. We need to stand against that with all of our heart and keep alert and keep watching. But we have a Heavenly Father that's able to help us as we go in to reach out to these that are hurting and that are dying. And I just believe that we need a little more admonition, each one of us, that we won't think, well, I'm afraid I'm going to offend them. I'm afraid I'll drive them away. But as we go in the fear of God and praying before we go, that they can see our concern, that we're not just there legalistically banging away, but we see a soul that's going to be lost if somehow things are not changed in their life. A soul that's going to be lost until we forget about ourselves, we forget about our background and everything else, and we go in there to reach out to the one that is needy. And that we do like this Samaritan, we take care of them. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host, them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And then he looks back to this smart lawyer that knows the law and he knows what's right. And he said to him, which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And that lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. Then saith Jesus unto him, and I wonder if many times he hadn't said the same thing to us. You know what's right. You know, I've told you. It's in the Word. You've read it. And the Holy Spirit has been faithful to speak to you. And now he says, go and do thou likewise. And if we do, we'll be a happy people. Maybe we can get the fence built up there before they go off and have to get into that highfalutin ambulance and go to the hospital. Maybe we can stop it before it happens. Let's kneel in prayer.